Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us this morning to worship here at Crossline. If you're a guest, I want to extend, a special welcome. Thank you for making this a part of your Sunday here. We like to say that Crossline is a safe place to hear a life-changing message. And that's what we're going to hear this morning, because we're going to read a passage from the Gospel of John where Jesus is talking about how we have this unique relationship where he lives in us and he lives through us. We're wrapping up a series that we began several weeks ago called God's Dream Team, the Church. And the whole focus of this series is how God has made us activated servants of Jesus Christ. We've been using this whole analogy of the dream team, the basketball team from the 90s, the Olympic basketball team that was the greatest collection of athletes on any team. And we said the church is God's dream team. He called us and brought us into a relationship with himself, and he connected us to Jesus and he connected us to one another, and we're a serving team. We represent Jesus in the world. And God's actually given us spiritual gifts as followers of Christ to play the position he's called us to on the team. But all of us, like on the dream team, they all played basketball. We all have a common call to love God and love our neighbor, to serve our neighbor. And we're going to talk about that today as we look at this passage in John chapter 14 that describes how Jesus was in the Father was in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. That's amazing. Jesus was in the Father was in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. And just as Jesus represented the Father, we represent Jesus. And the way Jesus represented the Father was through his works, and we represent Jesus through our works. And Jesus has promised us that we would do his works and do even greater works. And Jesus has said that we do his works and even greater works through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And when we ask Jesus to work through us, he releases his Spirit and does his works, and it points people to Jesus. That's the way the passage unfolds in John chapter 14. Let me pray for us and we'll look at it together. Father, thank you that you love us. You love every one of us here. And you know where we are on our own journey. I pray for anyone here who needs to ask you into their life and begin a relationship with Christ, that today would be that very day. And I pray for all of us that the light of Jesus would fill our lives, and that Jesus, you would so live through us that others might see our good works and give glory back to you, Father. We ask you to do what only you could do in our lives. And we ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 6 to 14. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. And now you know him and you've seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and it's enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you and you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but it's the Father abiding in me. He does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." On that original dream team, Olympic basketball team, you had these famous players, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird. You had this epic streak of winning every game. You had these great plays. They actually represented the United States. They represented the United States around the world, not just because they had a jersey that said Team USA, but the very way they played basketball. Their performance on the basketball court actually was a representation of the United States of America. And in the same way, followers of Jesus Christ represent Jesus to the world. Not because we've got bumper stickers and t-shirts that say we're Christians, but the lives that we live, the actions that we perform, the acts of service, the works that we do in Jesus' name, the way we live, the way we shine our light It is to point people to Jesus. People are to see Jesus in us the same way people saw the Father in Jesus. As we look at this passage, the context is really important. It's the upper room discourse. So this is these final words that Jesus gives to his followers after he washes the disciples' feet and right before he goes to the cross. He talks about how we have this potential of a more intimate and dynamic relationship with God because he is going away than we actually could have had if he was physically on earth. Because Jesus says that he's going to send the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who's not just going to be with us, he's actually going to be in us. And because the Holy Spirit is in us, we can connect with God 24/7 and connect with God in a way that we actually experience Jesus living his life through us, just as the Father expressed his life through Jesus. So Jesus in the beginning of John 14 says, I'm going to go to the Father. Don't let your hearts be troubled or worried. I'm going to come back and I'm going to receive you to myself. You're going to be in heaven with me forever. And then he says the words that we're going to examine here in a few minutes. And then afterwards, he makes the promise of the Holy Spirit being in us and with us and living through us. And sandwiched in between this promise of heaven and this promise of the Holy Spirit living through us, Jesus talks about how we represent him to the world. So the first observation that I have is this, that Jesus represented the Father, and to see Jesus was to see the Father. Now we know when we look at the totality of Scripture that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, one with the Father, one with the Spirit, the doctrine of the one God who eternally exists as three co-equal persons, what we call the Trinity. But here in this passage, Jesus is saying that in a very unique way, he represented the Father on earth. And so he says to his followers, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And Philip says, well, just show us the Father, and that'll be good enough for us. And then Jesus almost says, don't you get it, Philip? Haven't I been with you long enough that you would know if you see me, you've seen the Father? Well, if you go back and you read the first 13 chapters of John that precedes this, you'll realize that on numerous occasions, Jesus made reference to this. John's gospel, which has its own unique message. The four gospels give us the composite story of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each of them have a major theme. John is presenting Jesus to us as the Son of God, and John's gospel is telling us how to have eternal life by believing in Jesus. In fact, at the end of John's gospel, it says there's many works that Jesus did, and if we were to write them all down, the books wouldn't even contain them. But these things have been written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So everything that is in John is strategically placed to help reinforce this truth that Jesus is the Son of God and that by believing in him, you can have life in his name. And in the first 13 chapters, we see a repetition of Jesus doing a work and then making this statement, it's the Father working through me. Doing another work and saying, it's the Father working through me. Doing another work and saying, it's the Father working through me. So when Jesus says here in John chapter 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but through me. And Philip says, show us the Father. Jesus is going, Philip, what do you think I've been doing for the last 3 years? And then he says this, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he's talking to people, he's talking to the choir. They already do believe in him, right? But he's like reminding them of the stuff that they already know, but they need to be reminded about. He said, believe because of my words. It's the Father in me, the Father working through me. Believe because of my works. My works point to the reality that the Father is in me, and if you see me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said in John 5:36, the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works I do, they testify about me that the Father sent me. If we were investigators at a crime scene, and all over the crime scene were fingerprints, and we got the fingerprints and evaluated them in lab, and they came out, they were all the same fingerprints. And then we sent the fingerprints off to the FBI database. Yes, I do a lot, watch a lot of crime drama. We send the fingerprints off to the FBI database, and they all came back to the same print, and the print was only one person. We would go, these prints point to this person as the person doing the crime. Jesus' works sent off to God's divine database came back and said, this is the Father working through Jesus. Jesus says, my works, the way I live my life, the miracles I performed, the commandments that I kept, the way I lived, everything about it points to the Father. So if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Then Jesus says this, believers represent Jesus, and to see us is to see Jesus. Believers represent Jesus, and to see us is to see Jesus. Right after this passage, as Jesus begins to unpack the promise of the Holy Spirit, he says this in verse 16, John 14, 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever, that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but will see, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. And in that day, you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. Did you follow the logic of Jesus, the connection of Jesus? Jesus is saying, I'm going to send the helper, the parakletos in Greek, the one called alongside to help, the one who's a counselor, the comforter. He's the Spirit of truth. You know him. He abides with you, but he is going to actually be in you. I am not going to leave you as an orphan. I am going to come to you. I am in the Father. The Father's in me, and I will be in you. Jesus lives in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Every believer, at the moment that we believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. Christ comes into our life because he's the Spirit of Christ. And because Christ is in our life, just as Jesus was in the Father and the Father was in Jesus, we are in Jesus and Jesus is in us. And just because as the Father was in Jesus and Jesus was in the Father, he represented the Father. We're in Jesus and Jesus is in us, so we represent Jesus. It's amazing. A Christian is not someone who just believes certain religious truths. A Christian is not someone who goes to church every Sunday. A Christian is not someone who's been baptized. A Christian is not someone who keeps certain lifestyle, moral commitments. A Christian is someone who has Jesus Christ living in them. Jesus lives in us as followers of Jesus Christ. We're on the dream team because we believed in Jesus and Jesus came into our lives and he connected us with everybody else that has Jesus in their lives. That's the church. And just as Jesus represented the Father in the world, we represent Jesus in the world. So to see us is to see Jesus. That's a pretty high calling. In fact, it's a supernatural calling. And the Christian life is a supernatural life. There's only one person who really lived the Christian life. That's Jesus. There's only one way we can actually live the Christian life. It's Jesus through us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says this, "For God, who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that's seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves, we're just like fragile clay jars that contain this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves." It's God, not us. It's Jesus in us. Jesus was in the Father and the Father was in Jesus. We are in Jesus and Jesus is in us. Jesus represented the Father. We represent Jesus Christ. If you've ever seen like a slide show, they're very sophisticated now, but I remember the old old, like when I was in grammar school, slideshows. They had this little projector, and the slides would be there, and this bright light would shine through the slide, and then whatever the image on the slide was would project out, right? So here's the way this works. The light is Jesus in us. The slide is the way we live. Our actions, our works, our lifestyle. The light of Jesus shines through that, and what is to be projected out to people is Jesus. So just like people looked at Jesus' life and they saw the Father, people are to look at our lives and they're to see Jesus. See, on the dream team, God placed us on the dream team, and there were positions on the team, but everybody played basketball. In God's dream team, we have positions. We have spiritual gifts. We spent several weeks talking about all the different gifts that God gives. God has a position for you to play on the team, but we are all to play basketball. We're all to love our neighbors. We love ourselves. We're all to shine the light of Jesus to people. We're all to do good works that bless people in Jesus' name. It's just being on the dream team. It's our calling. It's our identity. It's who we are. Just like Jesus couldn't help but represent the Father to people, we, as we really understand what authentic Christianity is all about, Jesus in us, Jesus living through us, our lives will shine Jesus' light and bless people in Jesus' name. Our works will point to that. So here's my third observation. We represent Jesus by doing his works. We represent Jesus by doing his works. John 14, 12, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." Now, this is an amazing statement of truth that Jesus is revealing here. So it's worth breaking down a little bit. First of all, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you." That's kind of like a formula that Jesus used when he was about to say something super important. Truly, truly. I mean, everything Jesus said was true. So he didn't have to preface it by saying truly, truly. But it's like when you're a kid and your mom or your dad use your whole name when they're about to say something. Yeah, I'm paying attention now. Jesus says, truly, truly. And then he says, he who believes in me. Now, a right and accurate understanding of Scripture, and especially the Gospels, reveals that Jesus spoke to different audiences, and he made different promises and commands that the audiences were to embrace, and not every statement applied to every audience. So you have to look at Scripture in its context. So there are certain things that Jesus said to the 12 apostles that was significant to those apostles and not necessarily transferable to every follower of Jesus. But here he says, he who believes in me. And as I do sometimes, I point out some things in the grammar that help us. Grammatically speaking, this is known as a present nominative participle. What that means is the believing one. So just like we got, you know, John the Baptist. Everybody's heard of John the Baptist, John the Baptist, John the Baptist. Well, that doesn't mean he was a Baptist as opposed to being a Presbyterian. It's the present nominative participle. John the one who baptizes. John the baptizer. Present nominative participle of belief. The believing one, a believer. This is what Jesus is about to say is true of every believer. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've asked Jesus to come into your life, you put your faith in Jesus as the only one who can save you, this is true about you. So this is a promise from Jesus. If you're here today and you have never given your life to Christ, you're here as a guest, you've been coming for a while, this is your first time, you recognize there's some spiritual reality. You're wondering, what would it really mean for me to be a Christian? This is it. Jesus will actually come into your life. Your sins will be forgiven. And the promise of what Jesus is about to make will be true for you because it's true for every believer. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. So, Jesus' works revealed the Father to people. Our works reveal Jesus to people. Jesus is saying, you as a believer, your life and the sum total of your life, all of your works, they represent me. This is not, and so don't confuse it in your mind, this whole discussion about salvation by grace versus salvation by works. The Bible's absolutely clear, we're saved by grace. Saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, not by works. But this is saying works, in this context, in John, they are the sum total of our life, the way we live, the actions. You could substitute actions if that helps you and is less confusing for you. John uses this term 22 times. It's not in Mark, it's not in Luke, and it's twice in Matthew. And both times in Matthew, it's used the same way as it's used in John. Matthew 5:16 is an example. Let your light shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In other words, let your light shine before men, in other words, and so that people see your life and they glorify your Father who is in heaven. It's just the way you live your life. So Jesus is saying, the person who believes in me is going to live a life like me. And an even greater life. Wow. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. It's Jesus in us. Just like the Father was in Jesus, Jesus is in us. And when Jesus is in us and actually thinking through our minds and speaking through our mouths and seeing through our eyes and loving through our hearts and living through our bodies, our works point to Jesus. This is good stuff. Because as dream teamers, we play a position, but we all play basketball. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have unique strengths and gifts that call us into the area of ministries that God has for us. But every one of us is to love our neighbor and live a supernatural life that reflects Jesus to people. So our works reveal Jesus to others, and our works actually point people to believe. Jesus said this, in John 5:36, but the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John, for the works which the Father has given me to do, the works to accomplish, these very works that I do, they testify about me that the Father has sent me. And in John 10:37-38, Jesus said, if I do not do the works of my Father, well, then don't believe me. But if I do them, though you don't even believe in me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in you. In other words, Jesus is saying, you can't argue with the works. People might debate some of our words that we might say. People might disagree as we talk to them about the reality of Jesus, but people cannot deny the power of our lives. People can't argue with the reality of Jesus in us. Just like there were religious people who debated with Jesus, with what he had to say, but they couldn't deny the miracles that he performed. They couldn't deny the integrity of his life. They couldn't deny the love that was expressed in his relationships with people. And so Jesus says, my works are the greatest proof that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father. And Jesus is saying to us, our works, they're the proof that Jesus is in us and we're in Jesus, and we're going to do the works of Jesus and even greater works. The works that Jesus did actually helped people come to believe. In John 6, Jesus says, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him the Father has set his seal. Therefore they said to Jesus, well, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to him, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So we're trying to unpack John 14:12, because Jesus makes this amazing promise and statement of truth that he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do. Well, what is he talking about? Well, he's talking about actions that lead people to believe in the reality of Jesus. Actions that point people to Jesus. Okay, now we're thinking like, well, that's kind of similar to what Matthew 5, 16. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said in Matthew 5, 14, you're the light of the world, which that used to just trouble me to tell you the truth. Because over in John 10, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. I can understand that Jesus is the light of the world, but how could a Christ follower be the light of the world? Well, if Jesus is the light of the world, the only way that a believer can be the light of the world is if Jesus is in them. And then Jesus says this, let your light shine so that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So when the light of Jesus shines out of our lives through our works, God gets the glory because people, they see us, but they're looking at God. They see us, but they're drawn to Jesus. So the works that we do in Jesus' name are really Jesus living through us, doing his works. It's Jesus thinking through our minds and speaking through our mouths and loving through our hearts and living through our bodies and Jesus loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. Jesus doing that through us, and that reality points people to Jesus. And Jesus said, that's what's going to happen, because just as Jesus represented the Father, we represent Jesus. Jesus represented the Father through his works. We represent Jesus through our works. So through the character and attitude of Jesus, it's displayed in the way we live. So when you see this term, and the works that I do will you do also, and greater works than these will you do, because I go to the Father, it's a comprehensive term. It's interesting, this past week, just studying this passage, I probably looked at least 10 commentaries to see what they said about this. I was laughing earlier in our first service. We have Dr. Clay Jones, who's a professor at Biola and a lot of other schools in the area of apologetics. And we were laughing how in academia, and these are the guys who write these commentaries, by the way, in academia, they like to take simple things and make them really complicated. Where as a good preacher, it's the exact opposite. You should be taking complicated things and making them simple. But a lot of times the reason they take simple things and make them complicated is they don't like what the simple thing seems to say. Because what does a simple thing seem to say? We're going to do the works of Jesus and greater works. Well, here's what you have to say. Just looking at what that means in its context and in the context of John, it's the totality of Jesus' life. So it includes the mundane, just asking a woman for a drink at a well and talking to her about eternal life. But it also includes the miraculous, because Jesus did miracles. So Jesus is saying to us as his followers, our lives, the natural and the supernatural, are going to point to Jesus. Now, I think one of the things that helps me understand this, because it has to be seen in context and Scripture interprets Scripture, is when we looked at the discussion of spiritual gifts, if you remember, we unpacked all the different spiritual gifts and how people have different spiritual gifts, and each gift, like a part of your body, is important for the body to be whole. Some of the gifts that we looked at, by the very nature of the gifts, have a supernatural expression. So I think it's fair to say that as we all, as dream teamers, do the works of Jesus, some of us, by unique design, our works will have a more supernatural affect. But every one of our works is to point to Jesus. The works of Jesus are the attitudes, the words, the actions that reflect Jesus to people so they might see Jesus and believe. In John chapter 5, Jesus has given this little discourse about the fact that he's the Son of God, and if you believe in him, you have eternal life. And there's these religious leaders who oppose Jesus and challenge him to prove what he had to say. And so he gives several lines of proof, kind of like in a courtroom, he gives testimony or lines of evidence. So he goes, Exhibit A, my words. Exhibit B, my works. Exhibit C, the testimony of John the Baptist. Exhibit D, the totality of Scripture. And Exhibit E, Moses. And he said, all of those point to me. I wonder if we were in a courtroom and we were accused of being a Christian and we had to give lines of evidence and testimonies, what exhibits would we give to prove to the reasonable person on the jury that we're really followers of Jesus Christ? Jesus said we would do that. We'd be able to do that. Our works. The works that I do, you'll do also. And greater works than these will you do because I go to the Father. Here's an example in Matthew 9 and Matthew 10, just some of the redemptive works of Jesus that led people to believe. Matthew 9, verses 35 and following, it says this. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now the names of the 12 apostles were these, the first Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon, the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. And these 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the lepers and cast out demons. Freely as you have received, freely give. The works of Jesus were compassion-motivated acts of service to people. Jesus didn't do his works out in the desert to the cactus. He did his works for people. To people, to bless people. So our works that Jesus is talking about are actions that bless people and serve people, which bring us back to this whole theme of the Dream Team. We're the church. We're to be activated servants. And Jesus says we're going to do his works. And greater works than these will we do. So Jesus' works were compassion-motivated ministry to people. Jesus saw the multitude like sheep without a shepherd, and he felt compassion for them, involved himself in setting people free and sharing good news and giving people spiritual life. When we see as Jesus saw, then we'll feel as Jesus felt. This is another sermon for another day, but I'm convinced, because I just deal with this personally, that we fill our lives up with a lot of negative news that riles us up and drains the compassion out of us. And it gives us an us and them mentality. Well, the them, they're not the enemy. They're people who have been deceived by the enemy. They need to be set free. They're sheep without a shepherd. And when Jesus saw people, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And he felt compassion. That compassion moved him to action. Ministry, works. So if we're able to see as Jesus saw, we'll feel as Jesus felt, and then we'll actually do what Jesus did. And notice, Jesus models this before his apostles, because in this case, these are the apostles. He models this, he teaches them about it, and then he sends them out, and guess what? They go do it. Jesus modeled it, he taught it, and then he sends them out, and they go do it. As we think about the works of Jesus, their compassion-motivated actions, blessing people, giving life to people, setting people free, giving people the hope of eternal life. When we see as Jesus saw, feel as Jesus felt, pray as Jesus prayed, because he prayed more workers, because ultimately, Jesus is the only one that can meet the needs of a person's life. And so we need more workers, because Jesus does it through people. We need more people who get in the game of blessing people. So, this passage walks out. Jesus represents the Father to people. We represent Jesus to people. Jesus represented the Father through his works. We represent Jesus through our works. Jesus has promised us that we'll do his work and even greater works. And you say, well, okay, greater works? How can you do more miracles than Jesus? Well, it's not just the miracles. It's the totality of the life of Jesus. And by the way, if you just, I'll just take one area. Jesus preached to, you know, crowds upon crowds upon crowds. But at the end of his life after his resurrection, when all of his followers got gathered together, there were 120 people in the upper room. Now, there might have been more than 120 actual believers, but only 120 gathered. The day of Pentecost comes, the Holy Spirit is poured out. Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit. He preaches boldly the gospel of Jesus. Thousands are saved in one day. In one sermon, Peter did greater works than Jesus in just this one area of sharing the gospel. That is a work that points people to believe. Think about the collective lives of believers in Jesus Christ throughout the last 2,000 years of church history. Collectively, as believers abide in Christ, live in Christ, the Holy Spirit working through them, them living out the Christian life before people, the works of Jesus have been done, and greater works. Here's a fourth observation. We do Jesus' works by asking Jesus to work through us in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Well, how does what's the because do? Well, because is giving you a reason or a rationale for what he just said, works and greater works, because I go to the Father. Well, what does going to the Father have to do with being able to do the works of Jesus and greater works? It's all in the context of John chapter 14. When Jesus went to the Father, what did he do? He gave the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, just a few more verses, verse 16, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. You've heard me talk about the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, whom the Father has promised. He is with you. He's going to be in you. I'm going to be in you. I'm going to come to you. I'm in the Father. The Father's in me, and I'm going to be in you. Through Jesus living in us, we can do greater works. Because it's not our works. It's Jesus. It's Jesus doing through us what Jesus does. That's through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is a supernatural life. Only one person could ever live the Christian life. It's Jesus Christ. So when Jesus lives his life through us, we're actually living the Christian life. It's Jesus' life. It's Jesus' works. And the mechanism or what triggers that to actually take place, Jesus says, is, and you will ask in my name whatever you wish, and I'll do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. When we ask Jesus to reproduce his life through us so that our works point to him, so that other people will believe, Jesus says, I'm going to answer that prayer. That's, by the way, the context of this promise. It's not just pray for a new Mercedes and you're going to get it if you pray in my name. No, it's pray for my works to be done through you so that others may believe, and pray in my name with my purpose in mind, and that's the prayer I'm going to answer. That's the prayer I'll answer for you. So we can ask Jesus every day to live his resurrection life through us. We can ask Jesus to think through our minds, to speak through our mouths, to see through our eyes, to love through our heart, to live his resurrection life through our bodies, to do his works through us so that other people might see that and come to believe, and we can pray that prayer with absolute confidence Jesus is going to answer it. If you had a brand new automobile with just a high performance engine, all the potential, you know, that could be tested out, you know, that the car would go 200 miles an hour. You still got to turn the ignition on, put it in drive, and step on the gas to activate that engine to empower the car. So Jesus says, you got to turn the ignition, put it in drive, and step on the gas to do the works. Only he says what that means for us is understanding the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, Jesus is in us, and asking God to do miraculous things through our lives, asking God to work out the works of Jesus through us as Jesus lives through us, and that's the activating means by which we live supernatural life. And it's all directed towards blessing people, loving people, serving people, bringing life to people. Here's one last observation. We bring glory to God when Jesus does his works through us in serving others. This whole living as the dream team brings glory to God. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. God does this, it pleases him to do it because it brings him glory. Think of, this is a trifecta. When we serve others by doing the works of Jesus, because people get blessed and served, we experience the supernatural life of Jesus and God gets glory. Everything about serving in Jesus' name and in Jesus' power to bless other people glorifies God. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men that others see your good works and they glorify the Father who's in heaven. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11, as each one has received a spiritual gift, use it in serving others as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If you speak, speak as it were the words of God. If you serve, serve with all the power that God provides so that in all things God may be glorified. We live to glorify God. How do we glorify God? We serve others in Jesus' name. We do the works of Jesus in Jesus' name. We ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit so that Jesus lives through us in a way that our works bless others and point them to Christ. And that glorifies God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, but all of us who are Christians, we have no veils on our faces, but we reflect like mirrors the glory of the Lord. We are transformed by the Spirit of the Lord in ever-increasing glory into his own image. So Paul there uses this analogy of a mirror, a reflecting mirror. If we went outside, it's a brilliant sunny day. If I had a mirror, if I angled that mirror in a certain way, the sun would hit the mirror and reflect out. In fact, I could probably hold the mirror in a way that would reflect so brilliantly, you'd have to shield your eyes because of the brightness that's shining as a reflection of the mirror. So here's the deal. We're to angle our lives before people in a way that God shines onto us and shines out to them, and he's glorified. And the angling of our lives, it's serving other people in Jesus' name and in Jesus' power. And that's what we've been called to do as part of the dream team. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you for saving us and calling us and gifting us and living inside of us so that we shine your light out. I pray that we would do that with great power and great glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.